History has shown us that military actions alone do not resolve conflicts, and Israelis' use of force will not resolve this one. We need a full and immediate ceasefire now.
And we rightfully condemn extremist and genocidal statements by Hamas, but fail to utter a single word about the genocidal rhetoric being spouted by Netanyahu and his right-wing government. Then the world asks, are our scales of justice truly impartial?
But we must, all of us, be able to stand in front of our own constituents with integrity and at peace with our own conscience on the issues that matter most to them.
Israel's assault on Gaza has now killed one in every 200 Palestinians in the besieged enclave. We will be remembered for this vote, so let's be on the right side of history and vote for a ceasefire today.
As I stated publicly, the attack against innocent Israelis on October the 7th was an egregious crime against humanity. Families of those killed continue to mourn the loss of their loved ones, and the families of those taken hostage pray for their safe return. It would be a grave injustice to not recognise acts of terror committed by Hamas for what they are. In the same way, it would be a grave injustice in the world if the world turned a blind eye whilst innocent Palestinians are being murdered by the hour. More civilians killed in 6 weeks in Gaza than civilians killed in 20 months in the Russia-Ukraine war. More children killed in Gaza than the annual number of children killed across all conflict zones since 2019. More UN workers killed in Gaza than any comparable period in the UN's history. More journalists killed in Gaza than any conflict period since 1992. Hospitals have been bombed, refugee camps have been bombed, United Nations schools have been bombed, ambulances bombed, bakeries bombed, mosques and churches bombed, northern Gaza bombed, Gaza City bombed, Khan Yunus bombed, the Rafah border bombed, almost every inch of the Gaza Strip bombed. Over 11,000 innocent civilians killed. The hopes and dreams and futures of nearly 5,000 Palestinian children ended in mass graves. 2.3 million people fleeing death and destruction, babies dying in incubators, pregnant women having caesareans without anaesthetic. No fuel to power hospitals, no food to feed the living, and searching for clean water being as rare as searching for gold. Make no mistake, this is a humanitarian catastrophe, which is why I urge members to back an immediate ceasefire on all sides and push for the release of hostages. A call which is backed by 120 members of the UN Security Council, backed by 17 UN agencies, backed by the UN General Secretary, backed by the World Health Organization, backed by the World Food Programme, backed by Amnesty International, backed by over 600 leading international NGOs, including Oxfam, Save the Children, Christian Aid, Medical Aid for Palestinians, the International Committee for Refugees, backed by the Pope, backed by the Archbishop of Canterbury, backed by the overwhelming British public, and now backed by President Macron of France. Almost every single international aid agency in the entire world is saying a vital humanitarian aid to reach people cannot be delivered without a ceasefire. The very agencies whose expertise we rely upon in other conflicts and take their lead, so why not this time? We need a political solution to an issue which leads to peace, not one that ends in a way which is so horrific it emboldens more terror in the region. Injustice is the greatest barrier to peace, and the truth is we cannot expect peace unless we enable justice to be delivered. And nothing symbolises our British values better than the statue of Lady Justice towering over the Old Bailey. Figuratively blinded because justice is unbiased, the scales representing the impartiality of decisions, and the sword a symbol of power and justice. But when Israel acts with impunity and attacks hospitals, UN schools and refugee camps, and the case for Palestinians is vetoed by the US and the UK at the International Criminal Court, then the world asks, is our justice really unbiased? When we rightfully condemn extremist and genocidal statements by Hamas, but fail to utter a single word about the genocidal rhetoric being spouted by Netanyahu and his right-wing government, then the world asks, are our scales of justice truly impartial? When we follow the path of justice and the rule of law in the face of Putin's aggression, but yet Israel continues to defy UN resolutions with empty words and no action, then the world wonders, where is the sword of justice? When we fail to provide equal application of justice, then in the eyes of the world, it is one rule for the allies of the US and another for the rest. These are not my words, but the words uttered by the former Labour Foreign Secretary, the late Robin Cook, in this very chamber, that sadly ring true 20 years on. Our values push us to do better, and this is why, despite all the risks to our personal positions, we must do what is right. Whilst it may be a matter of convention to follow our closest ally, the US, in interest of foreign policy, it is a matter of conscience to step away from our closest ally in the interest of peace. We know that eventually there will be a ceasefire in this current crisis. Every war ends with a cessation of hostilities. The question is not if there will be a ceasefire, but when. For the people of Palestine, every minute, every hour, every day we wait is another orphan, another grieving mother, and another family wiped out. This is why, in standing to save innocent lives of both Palestinians and Israelis, and representing the people of Bradford West, in today's motion, I will be supporting the amendment which seeks an immediate ceasefire.
Israel has the right to defend itself, as any country has the right to defend itself in the face of such a horrific attack. But that right is not without limit. It is constrained by international law, which protects civilians, critical infrastructure such as hospitals, and critical supplies such as food, water, medicines, and energy. We have witnessed a month of the unrelenting bombardment of Gaza. More than 11,000 have been killed, homes and whole neighbourhoods have been destroyed, hospitals have been left unable to function, and a whole population is being denied access to food, water, energy, and medicines. Madam Deputy Speaker, we cannot look at the horror and suffering on our TV screens and conclude that the scale of destruction we are witnessing is proportionate or that the denial of aid into Gaza is within international law. And again, we must stand in solidarity with all those affected, the injured, the families who are bereaved, and those who are so desperately worried about their loved ones in Gaza. I have heard from thousands of my constituents who have been in contact with me over the past month to share their views. They too are completely horrified at what they are seeing, and they want to see every possible effort being made to stop the conflict. They understand that this is what is being signalled by the word ceasefire. In calling for a ceasefire, no one is suggesting that the cessation should be unilateral or that it should be without conditions. Hamas must release the hostages. In war, ceasefires do not always hold, and I think we must all be realistic about the intensity of this conflict. But a bilateral humanitarian cessation of the violence, a ceasefire, is surely the minimum we should be demanding in the face of such horrific suffering. And this is not a minority view. It is the view of Oxfam, Medical Aid for Palestinians, Islamic Relief, the Red Crescent, Christian Aid, and all of the major aid agencies with a presence in the region. It is the view of the United Nations and all of its aid agencies. It is the view of our former colleague in this place, David Miliband, President Macron, the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Pope. On this issue, the overwhelming, prevailing view of my constituents is that where we have an opportunity to call for an end to the horrific suffering in Gaza, we must do so. Ceasefire is the word that they understand to mean an end to the horrific suffering in Gaza. We must all treat each other with respect at this time, but we must all of us be able to stand in front of our own constituents with integrity and at peace with our own conscience on the issues that matter most to them. And my conscience tells me that I must call for a ceasefire today, for a halt to this dreadful destruction and conflict where far too many have already died on both sides and more will continue to die if the violence does not cease. We must call for a ceasefire. Yeah.
Sir Paul Beresford.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I'm very supportive of the policing.
For the last 5 weeks, I've been watching in utter despair as Hamas killed hundreds of innocent Israelis and took over 200 hostages. And has the Israeli military killed over 11,000 Palestinians? The overwhelming majority of Palestinians who have been killed are women and children. and not Hamas fighters. They have been killed in their homes, schools, and refugee camps, in churches and mosques, while delivering aid, and in hospital as patients, staff, and those taking shelter. At Al-Shifa Hospital, premature babies lie starving, wrapped in a foil to stay warm, waiting to die. There is no oxygen, no food, and no fuel to run generators. As we speak, Israeli troops have entered the hospital, putting patients and staff at a grave risk. Over at the Al-Quds Hospital, Israel fired live ammunition directly at their intensive care unit, with most of the victims being children. There are now no longer any working hospitals in northern Gaza due to the depletion of fuel, lack of power, and constant attacks. I have seen pictures where parents are carrying the pieces of their babies, children, in a carrier bag. There are still thousands of people that are missing, buried alive under the rubble of half of Gaza's houses, which have been destroyed. And across this country, we have seen hundreds of thousands of people peacefully marching on the streets, urging the government to call for a ceasefire, despite the former Home Secretary banishing them hate marches. The people of Britain have continued to turn out week after week, demanding justice for Palestinians, contrary to what she claimed. The violence at this weekend's protest was actually by the far right. During the 2 minutes of silence to mark Remembrance Day, emboldened by former Home Secretary's extreme hate-filled rhetoric, they attacked the police and chanted Islamophobic slogans. Today's debate is about raising confidence in policing. As a former Greater Manchester police officer, it is shameful that the biggest driver undermining this is the Tories. Madam Deputy Speaker, I have visited Israel and Palestine and seen the discrimination and suffering of Palestinians in the West Bank and occupied territories. And I have championed the need for a two-state solution whereby Israelis and the Palestinians can both live peacefully. It is extremely painful to watch the sheer scale of Palestinians currently being displaced, over 1.5 million people already. This reminds me of my visit to a UN refugee camp in Iraq, where I met three generations of Palestinian women living in a tent. The grandmother had been displaced in 1948. Her daughter had been born into a refugee camp, and that daughter had just given birth in a different refugee camp. Three generations being born in three different refugee camps. This is the reality of so many Palestinians, but does not need to be like this. If we had a ceasefire yesterday, 144 Gazan children would still be alive today. Israel has already crossed every red line imaginable and broken international humanitarian laws. History has shown us that military actions alone do not resolve conflicts, and Israelis' use of force will not resolve this one. We need a full and immediate ceasefire now. My constituents have demanded this, and I will not refuse them. Supporting a ceasefire is the very least we can do.
And Madam Deputy Speaker, behind every number you read, behind every horrifying statistic you hear, there were hopes and dreams, just as real, just as valuable as yours or mine. And I can't believe it has to be said, but it clearly does. Palestinian lives matter just as much as anyone else's. Israel's assault on Gaza has now killed one in every 200 Palestinians in the besieged enclave. Hospitals, ambulances and refugee camps have been targeted. Premature babies in incubators. Let me repeat that. Premature babies in incubators are dying today because hospitals have run out of fuel. In the illegally occupied West Bank, where Hamas is not in power, around 200 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces or armed settlers. Madam Deputy Speaker, we could spend all day listing the horrors which the likes of the United Nations Secretary General, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have said amount to clear violations of international humanitarian law and war crimes. The truth is, Israeli officials have been very open about their own intent. At the beginning of the assault, an Israeli military spokesperson said that the emphasis in bombing was on, and I quote, damage, not accuracy. A former head of the National Security Council said, and again I quote, that the aim was to make Gaza a place where no human being can exist. This weekend, an Israeli government minister said that the wall, and again, I quote, would be Gaza's Nakba, a reference to the 1948 catastrophe where hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were forcibly expelled from their homelands and never allowed to return. Madam Deputy Speaker, none of this is to downplay Hamas's appalling killing of Israeli civilians. I condemned that already, and I do it again today, and I repeat the calls for the release of all hostages. But like the UN Secretary General said, none of those crimes excuse what we have seen since. And unlike those crimes, Israel's assault on Gaza has been done with this government's unequivocal support and complicity, and almost certainly with British-made arms. I can see smirking happening on the front bench. Don't think it's a laughing matter, personally speaking. So when the government refuses to support a ceasefire, it gives Israel the green light to continue its slaughter of innocent Palestinians. When it refuses to support a ceasefire, it is refusing to push back against Israeli politicians and policies that aim to ethnically cleanse Palestinians from their lands. And Mr Deputy Speaker, I am horrified, utterly horrified, that after all of this, members of this House are still willing to give Israel the green light, proposing nothing more than humanitarian pauses. There is nothing humanitarian about letting children eat a little today, only to bomb them tomorrow. The only humanitarian way forward is an immediate ceasefire, as has been recognised from everyone, from the Pope to the President of France, as well as 76% of the British public, according to polling. So to members across this House, I say this. The children killed in Gaza today could have been saved by a ceasefire agreed yesterday. So I urge you, I implore you, we will be remembered for this vote. So let's be on the right side of history and vote for a ceasefire today.
Indeed, a foreign policy with morality at its heart would not leave over 2 million Palestinians trapped in a humanitarian nightmare without food, water, medicine or power. And a foreign policy that puts values first would not be following the direction set by Washington and the United States in addressing this conflict. A foreign policy that is built on morality would not stand by as over 11,000 Palestinians are killed, as more than 27,000 are wounded, and as 7,500 women and children have their lives taken from them, or as schools, hospitals, churches, mosques, refugee camps and homes are reduced to rubble. And a foreign policy that is driven by values would not still be advocating the four-hour pauses that do nothing to alleviate the suffering of innocent men, women and children, and do nothing to end the violence that those living in the region have faced for decades. A foreign policy of morality and values would also not leave this government unable to answer just how many Palestinian lives it would take before they condemn the actions of the Israeli military in Gaza, which continue to violate international law, continue to stand as acts of collective punishment, and continue to fall within the definition of war crimes as they so clearly do. Madam Deputy Speaker, instead, a foreign policy of morality and values would be advocating front and centre a ceasefire that ends the bloodshed, allows desperately needed aid to reach those most in need, and create space following the safe return of hostages for meaningful negotiations on a lasting peace. Madam Deputy Speaker, with over 11,000 Palestinian civilians and 1,200 Israelis who have been killed since the 7th of October, and tens of thousands more wounded, it's clear to me, clear to the United Nations, and clear to every single aid agency operating on the ground in Gaza, that a humanitarian pause just doesn't do enough and doesn't go far enough. The innocent men, women and children of Gaza who are trapped in the never-ending nightmare of conflict, which they did not start and which they have no power to end, do not need a pause. They need it to stop. And the only way that we can achieve this is with a real and immediate ceasefire. Madam Deputy Speaker, I remain clear in my belief that it is the right thing to do, that it's the right choice to make if we want to see an end to the bloodshed and a lasting peace in the region, which no humanitarian pause will ever be able to achieve. Madam Deputy Speaker, and that is why I stood down from the opposition front bench. I'm here also advocating for a ceasefire rather than brief humanitarian pauses, because without a ceasefire, without a real break in the fighting, we will just see the unimaginable suffering, the horror, the death, the destruction and the devastation unfolding in Gaza continue. Without a ceasefire, the bloodshed that has already left thousands of innocent civilians dead, that has wounded so many more, that has left children without parents and robbed parents of their children, and which sees premature babies left to die outside their incubators, will tragically continue. Without a ceasefire, the desperately needed aid and assistance, the food, water, fuel and medicine that Palestinians urgently need and cry out for will not be able to safely enter Gaza. We will not be able to reach those who are most in need and will lead to the deaths of many hundreds and thousands more. And without a ceasefire, the negotiations working towards a peaceful resolution and a real two-state solution, which the region cannot wait for any longer, will simply not have the space nor the will to succeed. That is why, Madam Deputy Speaker, I am supporting the ceasefire amendments today, and why I will continue to advocate for a ceasefire to stop the bloodshed, enable desperately needed aid to reach those most in need.
Let this be a wake-up call for all of us on all sides of the House to work for peace. And when we pray every morning before the session starts, to work for reconciliation, understanding and harmony. That begins in this House, in our communities, in our homes, in our families, in our friendship groups, and especially in our hearts. So today, Mr. Deputy Speaker, I will vote for a ceasefire. I'll vote for peace. I'll vote for a state of Israel and a state of Palestine to live side by side in peaceful coexistence. The horrors, death and destruction that we're witnessing daily on our TV screens are a breeding ground for hate. But if we are ever to secure peace and a lasting peace, we cannot be driven by hate. I vote for a ceasefire. I call on all members, but particularly the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, to use their platforms and positions of authority, not only to secure humanitarian aid amid the horrors we see in Gaza and have witnessed in Israel, but to work every day towards a lasting peace, safety and security that all people in Israel and Palestine deserve.
I've heard firsthand a man who came to see me, whose brother had lived in Ealing and trained as a surgeon at Guy's before returning to Gaza with his expertise. He's not moved since the start of the war from the Al-Shifa hospital. It's now a household name, surrounded by tanks, no food, no water or power. The new Foreign Secretary, long before the despicable slaughter of Hamas on October the 7th, started this cycle of violence, called Gaza an open-air prison camp, which is unsustainable, truer than ever now. So therefore, I back Labour's amendment tonight, demanding the end of violence, a two-state solution, stressing the importance of international law, and condemning Hamas, illegal settlements, and West Bank violence. And I have signed Amendment B, also asking for some of the same stuff, release of hostages themselves at risk from 20 hours a day of incessant bombardment. But it also calls for the end of the siege of Gaza. It condemns collective punishment and urges government to press for a negotiated ceasefire binding on all sides, not a surrender. All wars end in ceasefire eventually. We cannot continue with lost lives, 50% of buildings demolished in Gaza at the rate we are. It's only a month in. Even The Sun called this a damp squib of a king's speech from a party that truly it feels like the end of days.